All right. Well, greetings, brothers and sisters. Good to be here with you as we consider renovation of memory. This isn't going to be a talk about kind of getting into the details of retrieving traumatic memories or processing painful memories or healing traumatic memories. And that really won't be what we dive into when we consider renovation of memory. Really, I just want to make a single point from Scripture. And that is that the gospel of Jesus Christ transforms or renovates how we see the past, how we interpret the best and worst of our past days, how we think, feel, and live each and every hour, each and every day in relation to our memories. So it's going to be just to cover that very sort of broad truth, that very broad idea from Scripture. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer as we jump in. Father, we are grateful that, yeah, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God for salvation, the power of God for reinterpreting our lives, for reinterpreting the way we see our world, for reinterpreting how we see you, how we see ourselves, how we see our relationships, and for this time, how we see our past, how we see our successes, how we see our failures, how we see pain, sorrow, heartache, hardship that we have endured. How we see the works that you have done and how those are applied to our salvation. And so we pray now that you would give us humble hearts to receive from your word, make us wise and skillful in the ministry of the word, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Of course, yeah, this has great implications for how we view, understand, and recover from childhood trauma, from childhood abuse, from rape, from the experience of the atrocities of war. Even though this really isn't going to be a talk about trauma or healing from trauma, hopefully as we talk about how the gospel changes our memories, how the gospel reshapes our memories, how it gives new interpretations to old memories, and even gives us new memories to remember, that has great implications for how we do minister to men and women who have suffered horribly, who have suffered the atrocities of war, suffered the atrocities of abuse. Listen even to Psalm 63, 5 through 7, as David says in verse 5, "My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips." Okay, why? How? Well, verse 6, "When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy." So here's David, who by this time in his life has experienced much affliction, much mistreatment, much betrayal, much abuse and scorn and hardship. And he says that, okay, my soul will be satisfied as with the richness of fat and good food, rich food, you know, tasty food. "And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips." Well, why? Well, because he remembers God on his bed. He meditates on Christ in the watches of the night. And he looks back and goes, "You've been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. You've been my refuge, my rock, my comforter. You've been with me. You've been for me. You've sustained me." And that sustaining and that protection of God isn't protecting him from any pain, isn't keeping him back from any heartache or suffering, but rather in the midst of that heartache, in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of that loss, in the midst of that pain, God has been there. God has used it. God has strengthened him and sustained him and even sanctified him. So when David looks back, God is giving him this ability to see godly anger, regret, cursing, empty sorrow. Think about it for a minute. Do any of these words ever define your experience of life? Define your outlook on life? Define what it feels to live your life? Now here's a few other words I want to add to the list. Thanksgiving, forgiveness, righteous anger, satisfaction, acceptance, praise, godly sorrow, celebration, gratitude, rejoicing, hope-filled grief, So what do you think all these words sort of have in common? What do you think is a theme that connects them? And even though there might be a number of themes we could share, what I want to focus on is how each of these words identify how we're viewing and responding to past experiences, how we're interpreting what's gone on in our world. These are words that try to capture what we think and feel when we look backward: a hurt, a loss, a wrong, a broken relationship, a failure, a success, a missed opportunity, an accomplishment, a deliverance. And all those words are sort of thoughts and emotions and ways in which we look back and experience those kinds of events, those kinds of moments. I mean, think about how significant this is in your day-to-day life, just how you interpret the past, how we all look back and interpret the past. I imagine all of us here, when looking at the past, would rather experience Thanksgiving than grumbling. Would suppose that we would always rather have a clean conscience than a guilty conscience, would rather feel celebration and hope than misery and hopelessness, would rather feel godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow, would rather know forgiveness rather than bitterness, celebration rather than remorse, righteous anger rather than unrighteous anger. Well, what makes the difference? What is the dividing line between looking back and seeing hope or feeling hopeless? Looking back and getting a sense of celebration or experiencing remorse? Looking back and sensing forgiveness or bitterness? Or forgiveness received rather than just guilt and shame lingering and eating us up? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, amazingly, that does that work in our hearts. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that does that work in our minds and how we interpret the world in which we live. It's the gospel that gives us eyes to see the past and interpret the past in a way where thanksgiving triumphs over grumbling, where forgiveness triumphs over unforgiveness, where rejoicing is greater than regret, where it's like this sort of sanctifying filtration system. That's what the gospel is. That when we put on the lenses of the gospel and see our past through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, through the great works of God in bringing about our salvation and conforming us to his image and uniting us to Christ and preparing us for heaven and giving us an inheritance in him, when we're looking upon our past through those lenses, well, then we're going to see the world and see our past and see everything in a very different light, where thanksgiving will be greater than misery, where we'll see hope where others see hopelessness, where we'll see divine purpose where others see pointlessness, where we're going to experience gratitude where others are going to experience bitterness and resentment. So our main point for this time together is this: the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God for new memories, as well as a new interpretation of old memories, so that we see and praise the glory of God's grace. And it's sort of those three points, and that main point I want to break apart into those three points: how the gospel really does provide a means, a lens for which we have new memories, new things to fix upon that we didn't have before, but we also have new interpretations of old memories, a new way of seeing what's happened, so that what that would result in is, thirdly, a heart that is filled with the praise of the glory of God's grace, that we just start seeing his mercy everywhere, his grace everywhere, his goodness everywhere, his steadfast love everywhere, his forgiveness everywhere, his patience everywhere, and we worship him for it. And I really think heaven will be a place where this process is perfected. You know, eternal life in the presence of God will be a time when we see everything in the light of his saving and sanctifying work. It's just all going to make sense. I don't think heaven's going to be a place where we just forget everything, where all that we've experienced in this world is just completely erased. No, rather, we will see it in a whole new light. We will see it through God's point of view. We will see it with perfected, sort of redeemed eyes.